breaking news.
Yeah, how about this, Ant? This report coming from Ian Rappaport at Rap Sheet on Twitter says Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz, dealing with a back issue, is not expected to play this week, sources say. Here's the big part. Depending on the result, given the time of year, Wentz may not play again in 2018. This team is still gathering info on his health. Wow.
Wow, you got to be kidding me. Are you serious?
So he may be done for the year, Carson Wentz. Now, somebody tweeted me that there was a report earlier in the season from Tim McManus, and I appreciate William Farrell for tweeting, sending this to me, back on the 18th of October. Tim reported Carson Wentz is a full participant today after being limited Wednesday with back spasms. No practice for Foles and Corey Graham, but he had some back spasms earlier in the year, but it wasn't highly reported or talked about, I guess. But is this a flare-up, or is this flying the flag? And does what Rappaport said about depending on the result, is that the result of the game and what happens around the NFL? Because if they lose against the Rams and the door closes more on the wild card, then you don't play them.
Yeah, but when we discussed wild card, we discussed it in terms of losing to the Rams.
Mm-hmm. To win two of three, beat Houston and then beat Washington. And pending, obviously, what the Vikings do.
Well, if Miami beats Minnesota.
I mean, this is going to come down to week 17.
I don't know. Back spasms, and then you're going to keep him out for the rest of the year? Well, shut him down now?
Yeah. Well, say that Minnesota does lose this week, and Carolina loses, right? Then all of a sudden you go, okay, the door's wide open. Then they probably play him. If not, they probably say, okay, let's see if we can get by with Foles and see what happens. It's disappointing, though. I wanted the guy to finish all 16. Because now it brings in the question, oh, he's injury prone. You know? Like that nitwit narrative. So, we'll see. We'll monitor the situation, as they say. Tyree in the Northeast is on the Fanatic. How you doing, Ty?
What's going on? You just kind of took the wind out of my sails.
That's a gut punch.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Andy, you got to talk Sixers, man.
Your face just now. Oh, my God. But for the caller that's saying, you know, you got to have the doubt Wentz. Does Wentz look the best? No, not really. But let's look around the NFL at the young quarterbacks. Like, outside of Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, he threw four interceptions. That's alarming to me. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. It's the Bears and Khalil Mack out there wreaking havoc, but that's alarming. Then you got Trubisky with the Bears, who's like, I watched a couple games with Trubisky, and I'm like, it shocks me that the Bears are actually 9-4 with him playing quarterback. But I digress. Like, when you look at Carson Wentz, I don't understand what people, like, when they say you can't give him franchise money. Like, this dude makes throws. He makes plays. The Colts game this year, for one, you know, like, he did his thing in that game. If he wasn't playing, we wouldn't have won that game. Like, he really took us down, and he won. Like, he helped us win. And not to mention, like, he didn't start the first three games of this year. We were 1-2. Like, that's where we would be at, and all these Foles would come in. Like, come on, man. Like, come on. What are y'all watching? Like, I'm being honest with you. Like, I can't.
I know, Ty. It frustrates me. It's so frustrating to me that they're so adamant. Look, Nick Foles is a nice story, but you can't be angry with me if I dismiss him as a starting quarterback because he's not.
It's a beautiful Philadelphia story, but there's a reason why he's a journeyman in the NFL.
Exactly.
Like, put it this way, not to just take the Bears, but if you take Carson Wentz and put him on a couple different teams that got a couple different weapons on him, he would be phenomenal. Like, I look at Goff, and Goff, don't get me wrong, they're playing good, but when you got a Todd Gurley and Brandon Cooks and you got talent around you, it looks a lot easier. And Gurley, he can tote the rock 25 times a game. So
he's got three receivers and Todd Gurley.
Yeah,
three. Cooper Kupp is his third. Is his third receiver.
Cooper Kupp would get a lot of time on the Eagles right now. I mean, he's hurt. I understand that, but he would definitely.
But that's who his third receiver when healthy is. Like, that's the kind of level of a bit of weapons. Ty, you're so right.
What?
Like, listen, you know, I don't mean to make the alibi because you're going to kill me again for. But in all fairness. To the argument, look at the coach taking a step back, and I don't know why everyone wants to blame the quarterback over the coach. I thought it was the coach who's the offensive guy who's supposed to put him in the spot? Who's supposed? If we could sit here and go, hey, how come you didn't run Sproles between the tackles? How come you didn't use Sproles out of the back? How come it took you to the fourth quarter to use him? Well, how come your scripts have yielded nothing?
Why was Wendell Smallwood in the game at a key situation? You look at all those things. The coach has a ton of culpability.
And so you want to go crazy to blame the third year quarterback coming off major knee injury?
Let me read this tweet for you, Chris Casimiro on Twitter. I want to hit him with a ping pong paddle. He said, "Dude sucked all year," referring to Wentz. Wentz needs to do less hunting and more quarterbacking. In Foles, I trust. Why do you guys act like we don't have a Super Bowl leading QB in the wings? And then he's got a picture of Foles holding up the Lombardi Trophy.
I don't even know how to respond.
You don't.
Because here's the thing. I could go get 20 NFL people, coaches, GMs. And in fact, I may do that. I may make this a pet project after the season's over to get 20 NFL people that everybody knows. And we'll ask them. Forget me, because I'm a nobody schlub, all right? But I'll get you NFL people that will tell you that, A, it's not even close between Wentz and Foles, that Foles is a backup quarterback, that Wentz is among the young quarterbacks, the top young quarterbacks in the league. In the league.
Can't believe we're still having this conversation.
That these teams would clamor for Wentz. I can't believe we're having this discussion. You guys got to watch the rest. You can watch the rest of the league. And look, God bless the Super Bowl. That was blue snow.
The year of the blue snow. Jimmy and Mount Holly's on the FedEx. What's up, Jimmy?
All right, fellas, all three of us agree that Wentz is a much better quarterback than Foles. I mean, there is no question. Anybody that knows even the rudiments of football knows that. But just a little hypothetical, because it sounds like to me that Carson is not going to play. Let's say Foles comes in and looks like the Foles in the Super Bowl, and they beat the Rams at the Rams on Sunday night. Do you stick with Foles at that point?
Well, I think that's what Ian Rappaport's alluding to, depending how the situation goes, Jimmy, if the wild card's up for grabs, if they're still in that mix, and all those things are going to determine that. He left it open-ended.
And you look at it from a long-term picture where Carson's concerned. I mean, what he's just come off of, add back problems to that. I mean, if you bring him back, I mean, you run the risk of maybe losing him for good. Now, here's my next question.
Really? They just cropped up, these the back spasms.
Yeah, I think it's more just preventative, Jimmy.
That's not debilitating, is it, Jim? Yeah.
But here's my other question for you, and honestly, do you root for this? I mean, if Foles is the starter, I mean, we are in the middle of a powder keg here. I mean, suppose he plays like he did in the Super Bowl.
It's a great question. It really is, because the cop-out for me is to say, yes, of course you root for Foles to beat the Rams because you're an Eagles fan first.
Laundry.
Right? Like, that's the right answer. Now, I got to get past my pig-headedness to do that. Because I'm real with you, Jim. Because quite frankly, I'm not rooting for him to succeed.
Well, I'll tell you what, if this would have happened, Anthony, to Jason, I mean, think of the talk radio we're going to have. I jokingly said to Andrew when I had him on hold, I said, Anthony Gargano will wind up murdering somebody.
I'll jump off a building. That's what's going to happen.
Climb up the tower over here.
I'm out. Like, you know, I'm checking out.
And that's not because you don't want the Eagles to win. Let's clarify this real quick. It's because of the fallout.
I said,
yeah,
that the right answer,
mm-hmm,
is you root for Foles to win because you root for the Eagles. And I have nothing personal against that. Nick Foles, God bless. But for the purpose of the argument that we have every day here, I don't want him to win. I mean, and I'm just being honest with you. I don't want him to beat the Rams, because if that happens, then I am going to lose my mind. Because it doesn't matter about it. I could try it on NFL experts, because this select few of this cadre of Foles people will never believe it. They're going to torture me.
But right now, we got to do a little something, Ant. We call Riled Up. It's been a riled up kind of day here on the Midday Show. I'm sure Mikey Mish's show is going to be steam coming out of his ears today as well. So hit the Riled Up line at 610-771-9751.
By the way, Doug said today that they are not bringing back John DeFilippo.
At this point.
Nope.
So we'll see. Maybe that point's tomorrow, though. Stay tuned.
I don't think so.
Probably after the year, if indeed that is even an option. Let's see what came in on the Riled Up line last night and today.
Have we lost our mind as a fan base? First, the guy says Wentz should be traded. Then a guy who sounds like he's 112 years old says he doesn't want a $300 million all-star because he writes the checks. Are you kidding me?
Well, I hope he's got a big bank account. I'm glad he's not writing the checks, that guy that called in that didn't want Machado or Harper. It's a good thing that John Middleton's in charge of the checkbook.
That was of all the calls, that was the one that was kind of flabbergasted.
Chaotic. It's been insane today.
I was flabbergasted by that call.
What's next?
All right. I disagree with Ant and Jason a lot. But, man, some of you listeners are ignorant. Nobody's saying that they have a man crush on Carson and Nick Foles sucks. What they're saying is they're sick and tired of you guys calling in and bitching about Carson Wentz and saying start Nick Foles and all this other stupid.
Bless you. Bless you, my friend.
Pretty good summation. Well, I don't have anything else to add. You got anything else to add?
Beer on me.
What's next?
You guys know more about sports and they forgot more about sports than most of these callers know in their whole entire lives. Bring the heat, bring the flames, bring it to these knuckleheads that get on the air and think they know more than you guys. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the false crap, and I'm sick of the dumb shit about Wentz.
I agree.
I love you, brother.
Yeah. Look at this. People coming to the rescue.
We need it.
Of sanity. Bringing some...
You need the support of some of the people behind us.
Proper perspective.
Yeah, you know, it's like gangs in New York. We need our guys. Swinging the chains.
What's next?
Carson Stafford is his new name until he proves otherwise. A lot of fluff. Ugh. Maybe win a few games. Said he's a franchise quarterback. But I don't know if he's ever going to get it done.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God. Carson Stafford. He's now Matthew Stafford.
Just one question. You make that call after what? The year he's coming off the knee injury when he had the MVP type season last year? Like, I don't know. You might be right when it's all said and done, but why are you in a hurry to make it like that?
People have to take joy in it. It's very bizarre. Like, that guy's probably an Eagle fan.
Yeah, but why would you want that? Mm-hmm. Why would you want him to be Matthew Stafford? So why wouldn't you at least wait a couple years before you wish that upon him?
Patience is lost from society now, hasn't it? In almost every regard. I want it, and I want it now. That's the generation now. It's the I want it, and I want it on demand. I want Super Bowls on demand. I want to return to the form he was last year, even after ACL surgery, on demand. It's an on-demand world, Ant. And I'm still using, like, a VHS. What's next?
Guys, Jace, I think they're just shelving Carson for the season. I think they want to improve the value of Nick Foles. He plays pretty good, plays lights out, good piece of trade bait.
Is this moron number one?
He's opting out of his deal. He's going to free agency. They're not trading him.
But I think he's right, though. It does feel like they want to shelf him.
Yeah.
Obviously not for a trade, but it feels like they want to shelf him.
What if they go in there and they do beat the Rams?
Hey, God bless.
And the Vikings lose.
I'm not. I was wrong earlier to wish negativity upon Foles. God bless. That's my new stance.
What's next?
Can we please stop with the .04 chance of making the playoffs? There's a .0 something chance that with a running start, I could leap over my house. It's not going to happen.
I agree.
That's my blood alcohol level.
Well, that was the case before the Vikings lost. But now after the Vikings lost, I don't know what the statistical number is. Maybe somebody can tweet it into us of the Eagles' chances to make the playoffs. But they improved when Minnesota lost. They're in this wild card picture now. But the competition they face is pretty tough. Rams, Texans, not easy. Washington, I mean, that Washington game might be Sudfeld versus Sanchez. I'm going to take a powder on watching that disgrace of a football game. What's next?
Wentz, I'm off the wagon. You can't fumble the ball beforehand. We got to get some points. Your cost is 10 points. Mickey, B.D. Foles would have got the job done. You take what the defense gives you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
B.D.
All right. If you want Foles, you can have him. All right. What's next?
Gentlemen, you know what's got me riled up? All you whining-ass Eagles fans. I remember a game in Green Bay where Dez Bryant caught a ball where the whole world knows he caught that football, yet it was called incomplete. How's it feel?
It's not even angry close Al. To the same thing, Angry Al. Come on, that was a rule issue with the NFL. They had to change the rule because of it. When it was obvious the Eagles recovered that fumble on the opening kickoff. Don't even try and compare the two. I like you, Al. You're a good guy, but that's an idiotic call to the riled up line. Matter of fact, we shouldn't play his calls for the next three. He's got a 3-game suspension, Andrew, for that stupidity regarding the catch thing with Dez Bryant. What's next?
You know what? It was a tough year, but I give the Eagles props. They played hard last night. Tough break for Rasul Douglas, but you know what? Ride or die, baby. Super Bowl champs. It was a great year. You know, we'll be back next year. Wentz will be back. Let's go. Let's get next year.
Oh, man. He's numbed the pain, and he's on the other side of...
Look, he's evolved. He's an evolved man.
Yeah, I'm not ready to live on last year anymore. I can't do it. Maybe in the offseason, you can go into that mode. You look back at everything in the grand scope and say, okay, we were maybe a cursed football team this year, and you can have that kind of perspective. But I'm not living in that perspective right now.
Jim Salisbury, a must read, a must follow on Twitter, must watch on NBC Philadelphia. He's outrageous. Great baseball man. Jimmy, let's get to it. What do you think of the McCutcheon deal first?
I think it improves their outfield defensively and offensively. You're going to get a lot of people critical of it because it is a lot of money. But that's where the game's gone, money-wise. You know, people will be critical of it because they remember the McCutcheon of his MVP years, of his peak years, and he's declined from that. But his peak was so high that even in decline, he's still a very good player. So I think they've upgraded themselves in left field. He still has tread on his tire. He's still going to be a good player and a good contributor. And I think coming to a ballpark like Citizens Bank Park is going to really help his offense.
Especially if you bring Harper or Machado.
Protect them.
And you got Reese. You know, it's a good lineup for him. I'm with you. At 32, he still has some time left, man.
It's a good addition. Look at his numbers last year. Very, very solid in the tough hitters ballpark. San Francisco really had a great run with the Yankees. And he never goes on the DL. I think he's been on the DL once in his career. He plays hard. I think the fans are going to like him. He's got a very exuberant personality. He's a really good guy, good person. He embraced the Pittsburgh community, lives there. He wanted to sign somewhere close to Pittsburgh, so he's across the turnpike. I think he can help the Phillies. I think they've gotten better at first base because, you know, they've moved Reese Hoskins there, and they've gotten better in left field, and they've gotten better in shortstop. So, you know, they're making steps, and they're still involved with the big guys.
We got Jim Salisbury joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Jim, let's get right to the big fish because it's the silly season. There's a lot of information that gets leaked and put out there, and there's ulterior motives from agents and the like. But that being said, you know, the big names, Machado and Harper, we keep hearing the Phillies are involved in these talks, and it seems like every day there's a different lean, whether it's going to be Machado or Harper. What are you hearing right now, and the fact that John Middleton apparently and the Phillies met with Boris yesterday?
Well, John Middleton didn't meet with him. He's not here. But the Phillies met with Boris yesterday on a number of topics. Zach Britton, lefty reliever, they're big on him. They've been on him since July. They tried to get him in that Baltimore deal with Machado. That didn't happen. So they're still big on him. They'd like to get him. And obviously they remain in on Harper. They have Rhys Hoskins, so I'm sure they talked about him a little bit and other things. Look, they're on both big guys, Harper and Machado. You talk about lean. Which way do you lean? I've been pretty consistent in this, that I think they're leaning toward Machado. I think they believe that he is a better fit for them baseball-wise. They were so horrendous last year defensively that if you could put him at third base, put McCutchen in left field, Segura at shortstop, you really, really address the weakness in your defense. So, and obviously he's a very terrific offensive player. So I think they like both guys, Machado and Harper. If I were to kind of handicap it as who they are maybe going to be more aggressive on, I would say Machado at this point. But they might have to probably outbid the Yankees, because I still believe Machado wants to be a Yankee. Machado goes up there, then that might change their outlook. They might be more aggressive on Harper at that point. So I still think there's a lot of off-season left here. I believe a lot in how a team acts. And they liked Machado for 2 years leading up to this July's trade deadline. They tried hard to get him. They didn't get him. They're going to have a visit with him here in the short term in Philadelphia. I still think he is there. They've prioritized him a little bit over Bryce Harper, but we'll see. Yeah. Things can change.
Wow. Who do you think is the – I was talking to Jim Salisbury. You can find all his stuff, including a great story on JT Realmuto, who we need to talk about in a second. But on the My Teams app, make sure you download that. Jim, curious, if they did sign Harper, who do you think is the other starting outfielder? Is it Quinn or is it Odubel?
Good question. They love Odubel's talent. They are on his ass to get in shape and play better. That said, I think if somebody came at them with an offer they liked, they would move him. But Quinn, I think, is your best defensive guy in center field. I think he'd be your center fielder. But hard to depend on a guy who's been on the DL as often as he has.
I know.
I think that would probably shake out. It would be a good problem to have. All of a sudden, you'd have a tradable commodity. But I don't even think you can really dig into that until you know that they're going to get Harper. And I'm not sure he's not going to be a Dodger. I still think the Phillies probably prefer Machado, and they're not going to get both guys. Who knows who they're going to get?
Yeah.
I wanted both.
I know. We're getting greedy. Realmuto, is it the, just they don't have the prospects for it? They don't know? What's the whole? I mean, look.
They have some prospects that would interest anybody.
Yeah.
But the vibe I get is the Marlins want, you know, like three guys that can step in there and play and tomorrow and have a big big potential, big upside to get better, you know, in the next few years. And I don't know if the Phillies have that level of quality of Major League ready guy. And I've heard from people really, really, really plugged into these negotiations that, yes, the Phillies have expressed their interest in Realmuto, and good for them. You have to express interest. You have to see what every good player is going to cost. And the Phillies are in on everybody. They're aggressive. They're sticking their nose in everywhere, and that's a good thing. But everything I hear is other teams can put together better packages for JT Realmuto. Mm.
Jim Salisbury joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jim, you just talked about that aggressiveness that the Phillies have shown this offseason. We kind of targeted this offseason as the one where, you know, this TV deal kicks in and, you know, where they could really sense opportunity with these two transcendent players with Machado and Harper out there. But can you quantify how aggressive they've been? Because, you know, I'm following you on Twitter, seeing your reports, and Bob Nightingale and Ken Rose, all these guys. And it just seems like the Phillies, on any player of note, are involved. Is that just smokescreen because it's convenient because they know they're being aggressive? Or is it legit that when you see these reports from all over that they're in on these guys and they're trying to get a deal done?
I think it's very legit that they're in on all those guys. I mean, you got to kind of frame it this way. Look at the sport and the way it's going. You've got so many teams that are in a rebuild and bite-your-tongue tanking situation. And then you have a handful of teams that are really trying to go for it, and then within that handful, a small subsection that have really deep pockets, like the Dodgers, like the Yankees, and, oh, yeah, the Phillies. So they are, you know, very much in on a lot of guys, and I think it's real, but I still think they're not going to do crazy things. They're going to be disciplined. Hey, if they get Machado, it's going to be a big contract. 8 to 9, 10, 11 years, and you know, a huge amount of money. If they get Harper, same thing. But, yeah, they're in on all of these guys. You know, with the desire of a Jay Happ to go to the Yankees, clearly he wants to be a Yankee. At 36, why wouldn't you want to be? They can win a World Series. Machado, he wants to be a Yankee. And you know, why wouldn't you? They can win a World Series tomorrow. It puts the Phillies in a situation where they're probably going to have to overpay someone to get them to come here, but they can do that. But all of this, I don't think there's a lot of smoke here. They are in on everybody. Yes, the agents want the Phillies in because the Phillies have deep pockets, drive prices up, but the Phillies have interest in the top end, top echelon players that are out there.
Wow. Jimmy, what about the rotation? There's some Keuchel talk, I guess, is heating up a little bit. What are you seeing as their primary target for a starter?
Hap, but, you know, it appears that, you know, things are trending toward the Yankees. If you can get that third year, I think the Phillies would do a third year. But Hap had a good experience in New York. And like I said, at 36, I think you want more of a sure thing on a World Series contender. They don't get him. You know, hey, look, I'm sure they're bouncing around on Kluber and Bauer. Their preference is a left-hander because they don't have one.
Yeah.
Robbie Ray has long been a target with Arizona. You could see him possibly end up being a guy they make a play for. Keuchel, I'm iffy on Keuchel. I mean, he gives up an awful lot of contact.
Uh-huh.
His strikeout rate has really come down in the last couple of years.
I agree with
that. Hitters see him pretty good. They square him up pretty good. He's got to be really perfect with his command. And I'm leery about that guy in Citizens Bank Park. So, you know, I'm not really buying in on them being overboard on Dallas Keuchel.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. I like Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray has a live arm. I keep waiting for him to have that, like, that one dominant year where it kind of kicks it off.
Yeah, and he's got a couple of years of control, so if you've given up a good player or two, at least you've got him for a while. And we'll see. But, you know, they would love to do something on the pitching side, the bullpen side, and they would love to land one of the big fish. And in my gut, I feel like Machado is their priority. But I'm not closing the door on the other guy, but it's just that's kind of the way I feel. I think they think he's a really good fit offensively and, very importantly, defensively.
Jim Salisbury joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jim, a report came out the other day from one of your colleagues, Matt Breen, said that Gabe Kapler called Kingery after the trade to tell him that he will continue to move around the diamond the way he did last season. Obviously, Gabe is very analytical in his managerial approach. Moving a guy around every day may not be the most ideal thing for a young player. What about the self-scouting of Gabe Kapler heading into year two? Do you think he's reflected upon last season and will make some changes, or is he going to go by the iPad once again?
Well, here's the winter meetings. Every manager does, like, a press conference, and he said that on Monday in his little press conference. He's a very reflective guy, open to criticism, and he takes it all and digests it all. And he actually made the comment that he's going to be more assertive in some of his critiques of players. He said he's never going to bury a guy, and that's, you know, players don't like to be buried, but he says he's going to be more assertive in how he handles his critique of guys. Obviously, that plays off the criticism that he was, you know, quote-unquote, too positive. As for Kingery, I think he's got a good bond with Kingery. I think Kingery and Hoskins are his two biggest allies in that clubhouse. I think the big currency for a manager is trust with his players, and I think he's really got it with those two guys. And they're two good guys to have it with because they're two guys they want to build around. But, you know, Kingery he's a great kid. He's going to play everywhere. And I think he could play almost every day next year at maybe four different positions, any infield position other than first base and left field, as Kapler gives guys blows. If he stops chasing pitches out of the strike zone and maybe starts hunting fastballs earlier in the count, I think it's going to maybe help him get back to being the offensive player he was early in his career. But he's going to get a lot of action next year. He could be a really valuable guy off the bench. They love to have that super utility, versatility guy, and that's what they projected him for in March. They ended up having to play him at shortstop. But I still think down the road he's your second baseman, whether that's in July, if they can get a deal for for Cesar, or, you know, after the season when they let Cesar walk. At some point, King Louis is going to be the guy. But, you know, Gabe's a good communicator. He's reaching out to these guys all the time, constantly. It's one of his strengths. It's one of the things he believes in.
I think he's likable,
but ultimately,
right?
Gabe Kapler's acceptance in that clubhouse and in the town is going to come down to winning. It's a big, big season. And the Phillies front office needs to get him some players so he can do that.
Real quick, do you believe in the roles? Like, sometimes I think the game, like, I'm just lagging behind, but because I still feel like everyday roles, whether it's bullpen, whether it's, you know, lineup, where you're hitting the lineup, and I think that stuff matters. I don't know if I'm missing it. How do you feel about that?
I think it definitely matters in the bullpen. I've talked to a lot of guys about this. They like to know when, you know, they're going to pitch. They like to know the pocket of the game that their manager has a tendency to call them on, because, you know, you get up, you can kind of sense when you might be needed. You can start, you know, loosening up your back, your hamstrings. You can, you know, when to have that last cup of coffee, things like that. They love that stuff. And, you know, there were times late in the season where I had relievers telling me in that clubhouse that, you know, the lack of roles, it's confusing. One guy even said it was stressful. So I do think it matters in the bullpen. And as you get talented guys who perform well, I think it becomes easier on a manager to have set roles. So in some ways, it's incumbent on the player to lock down his role and make the manager use him in that role. As for lineups, you know, some of your most successful teams, the Cubs, the Astros, the Dodgers especially, are flirting with different lineups on a nightly basis and having success. I really think it's kind of a trend, and I'm a big believer that everything is cyclical in baseball, and at some point it's going to come back to set lineups. But right now, they like to have these very versatile lineups with versatile players who can bat at a lot of different places in the batting order. And it still comes down to this. You're playing baseball. Go out and produce.
Jimmy, great stuff, man. Thank you. It was a great primer for the offseason. Jim Salisbury.
Thanks, Jim.
See you.
There he is.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.